I was thinking about how important it is that kids see their mom feasting on healthy food. And that's part of the reason why I came up with the title for my Substack is Fast Well, Feast Well. And it's really important that you fast and then you feast. You don't fast and then you diet. You don't count calories. I do want people to eat healthy food, but I never want them to count calories when they eat. So I think it's important for kids to see their mom enjoying their food.
Welcome to the Simplified Organization Podcast. 15-minute conversations with real moms about managing our homes and family life cheerfully to the glory of God. We can actually enjoy housework and love being homemakers when we focus on truth and work with gratitude. I'm Misty Winkler, homemaker for 22 years, homeschool mom of five with two graduates, and author of the book, Simplified Organization, Learn to Love What Must Be Done. Today, I have part two of my conversation with Leslie Taylor about gaining energy through intermittent fasting. She has tips to share today, but if you missed part one about her health journey and her encouragement for reasons to lose the extra weight, you don't want to miss that. You want to start at that episode. Leslie is a stay-at-home mom and a grandma to seven. She's a health writer on Substack and a health coach. She is passionate about helping people regain their health in ways that are simple, inexpensive, and life-changing. And today she shares her practical tips and ideas for getting started with intermittent fasting. Let's dig in. If weight loss is worth our time and attention and is going to help us serve our families more and have more energy and all of that, what are your recommendations for busy moms with lots of kids, especially when you do want to be emphasizing family meals and not teaching your kids to be weird about their food? Like that's why some diets, it's like, well, you know, what are we, how are we modeling, enjoying using our food for our kids? And then how does fasting fit into that also?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. And I'm also glad you asked that because once again, we do have to be clear in our conscience that what we're doing is right and it's the best thing for our family. And if we're kind of not sure about that, then we're not going to stick with it. And I have had people tell me things like they developed a negative body image because they always watched their mom dieting. She was always eating like a mini miniature salad while the rest of the family was eating something delicious. And that really can affect kids and stuff. And so I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about how important it is that kids see their mom feasting on healthy food. And that's part of the reason why I came up with the title for my Substack is Fast Well, Feast Well. And it's really important that you fast and then you feast. You don't fast and then you diet. You don't count calories. I do want people to eat healthy food, but I never want them to count calories when they eat. So I think it's important for kids to see their mom enjoying their food. However, having said that, I don't think that they need to see that their mom eats a feast three times a day. So for instance, I was reading in a fasting book recently, the author was saying that back in ancient Rome, you were considered a glutton if you ate more than once a day. And that was the culture. You just sat down and you ate one meal a day. Now that's not going to work for little children, of course, because they're growing, but for grownups. And so I don't think that children need to see their parents eating three times a day, but what they do need to see is that mom sits down with us and she eats a full meal and she eats to full satiety. And it's not some tiny sad looking plate, if that kind of makes sense. And even if you take the more extreme protocols that sometimes people need to do for a time, One of the things that I started doing coaching for this year is using the ketogenic diet for people who have struggles with things like anxiety, depression. So that can get pretty strict just based on the person's individual needs. But even then, like that's the most extreme protocol. The kids see mom has a full plate of, okay, it only turns out that it's meat and vegetables and, you know, animal fats. It doesn't have any spaghetti on it or whatever. Like even then it's like you are eating good, hearty, healthy food. And it's so different than you're eating a Weight Watchers bar or you're eating a miniature, you know, does that kind of make sense?
Yeah. You're still eating real food and a full dinner plate.
Mm-hmm. And we have always done on Saturday nights, having our married kids who are in town over and doing a feast. And all throughout my fasting journey, when I was losing my 45 pounds, because I'm in maintenance now, I never missed a single like family dinner. I never missed a single like dinner that we had with friends or family or any birthdays or anything like that. I just always made, you can tweak your fasting schedule. You can move it around. So yeah, I've done lots and lots of feasting. I'm still lost weight.
Yeah, it does seem like the intermittent fasting schedules are a more, I don't know, realistic. They fit in more into family social life than having a bunch of food rules that you have to be keeping track of.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Especially the kinds of plans where you have to like weigh and count the food out and like the grams of food that you're eating and stuff like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Intermittent fasting is much easier than that and tastier too.
So when you recommend intermittent fasting, do you also have food guidelines along the way, or is it just time based and that's it?
Yeah, I definitely do. In fact, that was the biggest problem with the first time, or actually like the first few years when I was doing intermittent fasting, but I wasn't being successful, is that I had this idea in my head that if you just fast, then when you open your fast, you can eat whatever you want. And at that time, I was very much of like a kind of a carb addict and a sugar addict. And not, it's so funny now to hear me talk about like I'm making my own bone broth, because back then I was just into the regular American diet, chips and cookies and whatever. So my idea was that I fasted till 1 o'clock today. So now I get to eat whatever I want. And that's such a swing in your insulin spike. Insulin is your fat storing hormone. And what you're wanting to do when you're fasting is you're wanting to slowly lower that. And that allows your body to tap into your fat stores. But if you're fasting and then you're gorging yourself on very insulinogenic, very carby foods, you're going to give yourself an insulin spike that undoes all the hard work you did. But if you can start with eating protein and animal fats, then it's going to be a completely different story. That's going to slow down. And I don't put people on a low carb diet. Some people need to reduce their carbs to get to their goals, especially towards the end. Like people might get to plateaus and I'll say like, okay, let's cut back a little on your carbs and see how that happens. But it's not a low carb diet. It's more of like, I really like to focus on, I want you to eat some really yummy protein. I want you to eat some really yummy butter. I want you to eat some yummy roasted vegetables. And then you can have some carbs. But when you get appetite correction, which is like you can once again hear your body signal saying I'm full, then you don't really always desire a lot of carbs. And I like to move people in that direction rather than there being like forbidden foods. Having people just naturally making more healthy choices. So yeah, protein first is a really big emphasis of mine for sure. Yeah.
All right. And so if you want to learn more, there are all kinds of very fasting articles that Leslie has written. I was going to say like, you know, the science geeky, geek out on the science articles on Substack. Yeah. And you just reorganized all of it, right?
I did. I recently reorganized it because when you first sign up to a Substack that's been going for a year, so you've missed all the preliminary information. So I just recently went through and turned all of my old posts into like a fasting course with like modules, like basics, start one. There's a 3-week challenge, which is like, it's kind of your on-ramp to a lifestyle of fasting. And that's where you really learn to practice for 3 weeks some of the basic things, like you're going to eat protein first and go ahead and cut the seed oils out of your diet just because they can really make you resistant to burning fat. And you're going to practice taking a walk while you're fasting. That really forces your body to figure out how to burn its own fat. It might have been years since you've had to burn your own fat, and you go for a walk when you're fasting, then all of a sudden your body's like, oh boy, I got to figure out how to burn some fat real quick. So anyway, there's just a lot of things that really helps if you do it at once, because then you get momentum. And then this is when people sometimes the first week they'll see the scale drop 7, or there was a person recently who drops 9 pounds in the first 10 days of fasting. It never keeps up at that pace, but that just shows you something like a switch kind of flipped in your body, where you're able to release weight. Now that particular person had tried fasting 6 months before, but she wasn't doing a clean fast, which I explained in that 3 week challenge, which is no flavors of any kind, no flavored coffee, no gum, no mints, no artificial sweeteners. You really don't want your body to taste food because that can give you a little bit of an insulin release. So anyway, she had tried fasting but didn't do the clean fast for 3 weeks and lost 0 weight. She even worked her way up to OMAD, lost 0 pounds. And then she recently tried it again with the clean fast and lost 9 pounds in 10 days. So that's the difference of, that's what I'm talking about, where like if someone can point you in the right direction and say like, this is how you do it, then it's the difference between like losing 0 pounds, like I did for a long time, and then losing 9 pounds in 10 days. So yeah, it's important to get all that information straight for sure. And we'll link to the podcast in the show notes. So, or the podcast, sorry. I mean, we will link to the Substack in the show notes.
For sure. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Leslie. This has been helpful, and I hope it gives people things to think about and things to research because our energy is important as moms.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Thank you for having me on. This was a lot of fun.
Our bodies and our minds and our abilities are all intricately connected in ways we don't even understand. Figuring out our health and taking simple, practical, traditional steps to reclaim our health is an important part of managing and stewarding our resources well and wisely as Christian women. And Leslie develops that in sciencey ways and philosophical ways and very practical ways on her Substack. So you definitely want to check out the description to find the link to Fast Well, Feast Well, her Substack. And there in the description, you can also find a link to a free download. I've created a PDF one-page printable for tracking goals like weight loss that will help you keep track of not just what you're trying to accomplish, but why. And then breaking it down into baby steps you can actually take action on. Getting started is often the hardest part, but this page will help you connect the why to the outcome to the baby steps so you can move forward and see real progress in your life. You can find that and all the links in the description, and I'll see you back next week on the Simplified Organization podcast.